Welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series, Raising Your Children in Grace. And now with the Word, here's Beverly.
Let me just say this about that little incident with Tracy, that she had, she was the new one in the class, and she was pretty, and she was musical, and she got the musical part, and the main part in the musical, and kids were just jealous over her. And so when she rebuked this kid, you know, and said, "I rebuke you, devil," the kid went running off to the teacher and said, "She just rebuked a demon out of me." Well, the teacher fortunately was a Christian and said, came to me and said, "You know, we can't really allow this in school." And I said, "Oh, well, I certainly understand." So then that opened another whole door for us to be able to say to Tracy, "Tracy, let's just not be quite so bold with this stuff. Maybe you do it under your breath, but you know, you can't really accuse people in the playground of having a demon." And we began praying for this kid and saw God change the child. You know, but it was such a good lesson for the kids, you know, to realize that she is not fighting this other kid. She's fighting the enemy that is trying to, that jealousy and so on, that's trying to attach itself to her. Well, has this been helpful to you? I mean, it's really good, isn't it? We're going to have to listen to the tapes ourselves. And because I think God is just, we've not done this before. And as I've said yesterday, and I'm going to say it again, we do not have the answers to all of your problems. And many of your questions that have come in, a lot of them are similar. And so I'll try and cover them all together. But, you know, some of them, let me just say, they're all wonderful Christian books out there as well. Read about them. Educate yourself. And really make whatever the problem is that you're dealing with in your child a matter of prayer. I'm telling you, there's a wonderful verse, and I love this, in the Amplified Bible. In John chapter 15, in the Amplified Bible, Jesus says this, "But when the Comforter," and in the Amplified Bible it says this, "the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Strengthener, the Standby, the Senior Advisor." That's what the Holy Spirit is. He's the Comforter. He's all those things. "When He is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, He Himself will testify regarding me." I want to tell you, the Comforter is within you, and He will speak to you. You've got to realize this. Don't get beaten down with condemnation. I mean, a lot of your questions today were, "Well, I've got an 18-year-old, I've got a 14-year-old, I brought my kids up in the law, I've got a 19-year-old who's in rebellion. Where do I start? How do I relate all that I've been taught these last 9 weeks, and especially the last two mornings? How do I now start changing this stuff? Is it too late to change my kids?" Now, a lot of the questions apply to that. And so I want to just answer that just a little bit. And perhaps John can jump in if I miss something out here. But I'm going to say this. Start by communicating with your family. If needs be, I mean, I can't even emphasize this enough. I started communicating with my children when Tracy threw a tantrum at the age of 18 months. I mean, every night I would sit on the bed when they got all sleepy and docile, and you sit on the bed and you look them in the eyes. And one of the number one things I wrote down here was, give your child individual quality time. Fathers, take your daughter out on a date. Look her in the eyes. Speak to her about what she wants to, you know. And at their age, you know, when they're little, you're going to go to McDonald's and you're going to go and play whatever on the games, you know. And but when they're teenagers, you're going to look at them in the eyes and say, "What's going on in your heart?" At whatever age they are, communicate with your child. Give them quality, individual time. I will never forget when Tracy threw her first and only temper tantrum. She was about 80 months old. I was sitting in a ladies' committee meeting. I was the Baptist pastor's wife, you know, ladies' committee meeting. And she came into the meeting and she threw a tantrum. Lay on the floor, kicked and screamed, and all the women went like this. And then they all looked at me. Well, what is she going to do? Well, I didn't know what to do. You know, I'm 23 years old. I yanked the kid up. I spanked her on her butt. good wallop and took her to her bedroom. She yelled bloody murder, but it didn't matter. She only did it one time. But here's the deal. That night, we put her in her bed. I looked her in the eyes and I began in the simplest language to explain what she did was wrong and to explain why I did what she did, why her behavior was wrong. Tracy, we don't act like that. Now, she's not angry anymore. She's docile. She's looking me square in the eyes. I'm looking her square in the eyes. I'm brushing her hair with my fingers like this, and I'm loving her, but I'm dealing with her, and I'm explaining to her so that the frustration in her can be dealt with. And, I started that at 18 months. Do you understand? You know, I'm just going to say this because it just comes to my mind to say it. I'm a midwife, and so I used to teach young mothers, first-time mothers, how to feed their babies, how to nurse their babies. And one of the things that we always had to teach first-time mothers was when you're nursing your baby, make it an individual time. And sometimes I'm horrified at mothers. They just feeding, breastfeeding their babies or bottle feeding, whatever you did, and it's just out there, and it never becomes a soul thing between you and your child. Find a corner right from the beginning of when your child is just a baby and they're beginning to nurse. I mean, look them in the eyes, stroke them. I mean, I remember times when Tracy or Bradley, I'd be talking to them and cooing and they nursing on me and they just start smiling and the milk would be running out their mouth and they'd just be lost in their love. But you see, I was communicating. They couldn't understand a thing I was saying. They're 6 weeks old and they did, our kids get like the milk running out their mouth, and I'm thinking, but you see, I started right there, looking into their eyes and communicating. Now, I understand there are times you come to church and you have to feed your child at church, and that's okay. But what I'm trying to say is build quality individual times with your precious trust that God has given you. Now, if you never did this and now you're facing a 14 and a 16 or 19-year-old kid, where do you start? So I put a few points down here. You start with communication. Maybe you call if your husband is with you on this and you really are trying to, or even if you're a single mother, a single parent family, sit down with your child. Do exactly what John's just said. Become vulnerable. Tell them, look, I've blown it. I'm learning some stuff. Please, will you forgive me? I haven't always handled things correctly. I've been angry. I've been frustrated. But I'm wanting to change, and I'm asking you, please, to forgive me. Now, become vulnerable. Look them in the eyes and just appeal to them and get them to say, Mom, and you might just say, I mean, they may be 7-year-old, they may be 19, or just say, will you forgive me? Get them to say, I forgive you, and I'll release you. And then pray with your kids. I'm telling you, pray with your kids. Ask them to pray for you. Will you pray for Mom that I'll know how to do this? And I'll be praying for you. Communicate with your children. That's number one. Number two, well, it's forgive. Under communication, I said, speak about forgiveness. And then resist the devil, just like John said. One of the questions here talks about a child, and I won't read it, but he's a 7-year-old, and he's been diagnosed as oppositional defiant disorder. It sounds exactly to me like a hurt child who's got a devil. And maybe this comes by you just having to sit down, speak to them, explain to them, and then say, this is not you, but this is the enemy. Let's fight this enemy together. Look him in the eyes and go for it. You have authority in his life. And say, I rebuke that devil out of you. Now explain to him, I'm not talking to you, but I'm speaking to the spirit that's attached itself to you, that's making you act like this. I love you. I'm committed to you. I want to see you grow up into a wonderful man or a wonderful woman of God. But this thing is making you act like that. You know what? Children can understand that. And so just look them in the eye and say, I rebuke that thing, and I tell you to come off of him right now. You've got authority. And just, you know, do it as some, if you need some help with this, go see your pastor. He'll help you with this. But you see, God, the Holy Spirit, is within you and He can teach you. So recognize who your enemy is and resist him. Resist the devil, the word says, and he will flee from you. You don't have to be the spiritual giant and wave and get all, you know, make kids scared because you get loud and forceful. And No. Just speak quietly into them. And just gently speak to them, but resist the enemy. And the word says in James, he will flee from you. That's the promise of God. Okay. Number two, after communication, is to pray. I'm telling you, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or a righteous woman avails much. Pray for your children. There's not a day that goes by that I don't pray for my children. And that goes without saying, but it's amazing how many parents don't do that. You are not at a loss to know what to do. None of us should be saying, well, I'm totally defeated. I don't even know where to begin. We have been given the weapons of our warfare. All right. We have spoken over these last few weeks about the anointing. I mean, if you've got a tremendously rebellious child, or a child that's not even saved, and or whatever, take a cloth, pray over it, pray over his bed, anoint his bed, speak over him. I mean, just, you don't even have to do it verbally over him, but get a cloth, stick it under his pillow, release the anointing on it. I mean, there's stuff you can do when you're making his food, you're making his sandwich. Just, Lord, I'm releasing your anointing of peace upon him today. I'm releasing the anointing of obedience on his spirit today. Pray over, release the anointing on your child. Number four, speak prophetically over your child. John dealt with this some last night. I was so blessed. You know, I love Jackie and Linda White. They were here last night. But the first time I taught on prophesying over yourself, Linda was in the meeting. And she went home that night. She's got three girls. And she began to speak in tongues and to prophesy over her girls. And she stood up and told us publicly. That's why I'm sharing it. But she began to prophesy over her girls. She'd never done that before. And she just began to speak over her girls what God was saying to her. What a blessing in their family. I'm telling you, prophesy. Yeah, she called her oldest child, Paige, who's at ORU, and she said, let me just tell you what God has just told me about you. And she told her the prophetic word that the Lord had just given her. I'm telling you, that was wonderful for her three teenage girls. So if you have a prayer language, or even if you don't have a prayer language, ask God to give you promises for your children. And every day recite those promises over your children. In your prayer time, speak, speak, speak. Don't just think them, speak them out. When they go off to school, you walk in their bedroom and you speak out the promises and the prophetic word over your children. And then even as they go to school, I mean, I would drive my kids to school, you know, and or whatever, and I would be speaking the promises of God over them. Not getting all super spiritual, but you know, my kids loved it. There would just become quietness in the car. Sometimes we took other kids with us, we gave them rides, quietness would become in the car, and they might, I used to think, oh, they're thinking, oh, mother's going crazy again. But they'd get this little smile on their face, peace would settle in on their spirit, and before they ever hit school, although my kids went to public school for a number of years and then to Christian school, there's just as much hell at Christian school as there is at public school. There are as many unsaved people at Christian school as there are, you know, anywhere else. And they need that reinforcement of the home to fight the battle out there. Some of your kids are fighting incredible battles out there. And you know what the Lord taught me? I am my child's defender. I'm telling you, I fight with him. I'm not fighting against him, but I'm fighting with him for his victory. Speak blessings over your children. And then the last thing is, ask the Holy Spirit how to minister to your children. Somebody came up to me this morning. We talked last night. And she said, when I got up this morning, my daughter had already made a bed. It was the best made bed. She went in to go help her tidy her room and help her make her bed. But her daughter had already done it. God, she had put some of these principles into effect just last night. And this morning she was seeing a change in her daughter. That's pretty cool. I'm telling you, some of you think this is a mountain. How am I ever going to get over this mountain? I've got so much to do. Where do I start? You start exactly where you're at. And let the Spirit of God just slowly lead you and slowly guide you. Okay. Let me answer some questions that I've had here. If you don't do chores, allowances, you know, and so therefore you don't get allowances, how do you give your children money and teach them to tithe and have something special to make them to appreciate value or money? How do you teach them to tithe? How do you teach them to appreciate the value of money? I think is what she's saying. Well, this is what we did. We asked the Lord, number one, and we just set according to their age. I mean, when my kids were just like 7, 8 years old, they'd get 50 cents a week. You know, that's kind of, or whatever. Whatever you choose, whatever the Lord tells you, I mean, that may be too little, that may be too much. But it was just something that they, and we taught them. You know what? We taught them through our lives that on Sunday morning when we go to church, we're giving first fruits to God. Well, has the, you know, and this is not when you get to church and you, and the preacher stands up to give his, you know, offering, announce the offering, and then you think, well, what can I give? Mm-mm. We at home would say, let's ask the Lord, what are we going to give to the Father today? What's the first fruits? What do you want to give? So it was like Saturday night prayer for Sunday morning church. Do you see what I'm saying? It wasn't just like, well, what have I got in my pocket, you know? It's that was the first thing. They learned by our example about first fruits and giving. And then how do you teach them how to manage and value money?
Yes.
Well, one that whatever God said, He would provide for. So, if they wanted to do something, and we absolutely were flat broke, we had no money in the bank, we couldn't do this, we learned to say, never to say, I can't afford it. But we learned to say, let's ask the Father what His will is concerning this. And we taught them the value of money. We took our kids through the walk of faith that we have walked through. So that even now when Tracy and Matt, I mean, they're having to pay big taxes in April, you know, and they're just like, whoa, where are we going to get this money? They learn, they know God's going to provide. And so they are trusting, and they are sowing in expectation of God providing for them. I mean, when Bradley wanted a new bicycle, we taught him to sew for his new bicycle. We taught our kids that money was our servant and we were to hear the Father. And that was truly the value of money. Just doing with our money what God said to do. Now, even since then, I mean, the kids have had to learn about how to budget and come out on their whatever we gave them and so on. And, you know, that's a process. That's how you learn. There are lots of great books out even about that. And I can't go into all that because the Spirit is the teacher. And at every age group, the Spirit will teach you. Through 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, then through adolescence, and then through the teenage years, and then even through the 20s while they're at college. I mean, you know, the Spirit is going to guide you, and He's the one who's going to teach you.
Brad came to me one day and he said, Dad, would you give me, you know, advance me my allowance money because I want to go and buy a remote controlled car at a Radio Shack at that time. And I said, now, Brad, you know, we don't do that in this family, you know, but I said, I'll ask the Father. See, I've learned at every point to go to the Father and ask the Father about it. So I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, what do I do? And I reiterated to Brad, you know, the principle that I was raised with, if you can't afford it, you don't need it. If you can't pay cash for it, you don't get it. So, you know, that was the principle I raised my kids on, you know, and then I went to the Father and the Father said, buy the whole thing for him. And I said, but God, you know, I've always believed that if children get things too easily, they don't appreciate them. And he said, where did you find that in the Bible? And I said, that's not in the Bible. He said, right. He said, it's cultural. He said, that's the problem with the Church of Jesus Christ, because salvation is free You know, I mean, it just, he began to just open up so much stuff to me to make me realize, he said, my children are always trying to earn my gifts instead of just taking them and receiving them and appreciating them as an expression of my love. And so he blew that one. And I said, but God, there's no occasion. And listen, you don't have to wait till the end of the week to give an allowance. If the Holy Ghost tells you in the middle of the week to bless your child, just do it. I said, Lord, there's no occasion. It's not grades, good grades, birthday, any Christmas, and so on. He says, why do you need an occasion to show love? See, and he was exploding a lot of the stuff that I was raised with. And so when you have an occasion, then you start equating, well, I did good, so I got. You know, it's my birthday, so I got. And instead of just unconditional love poured out, you know, and so he exploded that one. And then my last one was, well, you know, what is the third thing that I said to the Lord? It's spoiling the child. It was, if you're giving things to your kids, you know, a substitute for love, you're spoiling the child. And he just said, just go and do it and see what happens. And so I went and bought the whole thing and brought it, put it on his bed, wrapped it, and waited for him to come home from school. I was so excited to see the reaction. And when he came home from school and he walked into his bedroom, I was standing at the door waiting, and he just tore the paper and he turned toward me and he ran, he threw his arms around me and he said, oh daddy, I love you, I love you. And the father said, that's what my gifts do, you know. Because I thought, well, if you give, you know, all the other stuff, but God was teaching me and exploding stuff in me. Hey, be generous with your children. I mean, I'm telling you, you're worried about, well, they got to learn the value of money. Hey, the Holy Ghost will teach them when they need to know. You know, and our kids are so different. We didn't try and fashion them. We trusted the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing to see what God has done.
Yeah, I mean, Bradley just started earning his own money, and he's really, in my mind, is earning way too much money for a 23-year-old kid. I mean, he's got this great job, you know, and he's earning way too... I mean, he could save $1,000 a month. He doesn't need it. But you know what? He bought, the first salary, he bought himself a 52-inch screen TV. And, you know, and then he wanted to buy a DVD. And then, I mean, you know, like he, every month, he's got way too much money, this kid. But every time I'm saying, Bradley, just hear the Spirit. He said, Mom, I'm hearing the Spirit. Bradley, just hear God. I said, Bradley, I trust the Holy Spirit in you. And I mean, a little while ago, we were up in Tulsa and we went to go and look at something or other he wanted to buy. And I said, well, Bradley, you know, it would be so easy for me to put down the law and say, Bradley, you need to be saving. You know, you're going to have a wife one day. You're going to have to buy an engagement ring, and you're going to have to buy the house, and you're going to be the provider, and you need to save. And I mean, he's giving. He's giving to God. He's giving his first fruits. That's a settled issue for him. But he says, you know, I just keep saying, Bradley, let's hear the Spirit. And we walked through the store, and he explained all the stuff. I mean, he's the kid that if he's going to buy something, he researches it for 6 months. He researched this TV. He researched everything there was to. And I walked through this electronics place, and I'm just not there. Probably because it's my color hair, but I don't understand all this stuff, you know. But he explained all about the DVDs and how this worked and how this did it and how this goes through this and it goes through that and it takes all these, works on so many lines. And well, I, you know, he explained, and I said, oh, that's so good, that's so in-. Yeah, and I just nodded and I nodded, and the more I nodded and got into his world, I couldn't tell you one thing he said. I didn't understand a thing. He thought this was incredible because mother was interested in all this electronic stuff. But you know what, I just had to release and say, hear the Lord. Well, we got through this whole thing. And he said, but you know what? I just don't have peace in my heart yet. And I thought, oh, thank you, God. Let's get out of here. But you see, he was learning about the peace of God. You've got to trust the Holy Spirit. He'll blow it. He's going to blow it. He's just a kid. He's only 23 years old. Your kid's only 7 years old. They're going to blow it. I still blow it. I still blow it. But what do I do when I blow it? Oh, God, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. And I ask you to cleanse me, and I ask you to forgive me, and I get off and I scrape, I mean, I just dust off my scraped knees, and I just get up and I start walking again, listening to the Spirit of God. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with your kids. Okay. Here's another question. How to install the disciplines of Christian life and life in general without legalism? Such as, you know, how do you do that? Well, here's some things. Teaching kids manners and respect. I covered that last night. Yesterday morning. It starts at home. Teaching them kindness, gentleness, consideration of others. You know what? All of that stuff starts when they start playing with toys. When they're little kiddies and they're having to learn to share their toys with other children. Having to learn to share their toys with you as their playmate. That's where gentleness, kindness, sharing coming in. Living with generosity. I mean, not last Christmas, the Christmas before. Instead of having Christmas dinner, we took our kids and Matt, he was just sort of coming into the family right then, but he spent Christmas with us, and we went and fed the poor. We went out to the Salvation Army, and we handed out meals to hundreds of people. You see, the kids were learning and have learned over the years, Mom and Dad care for the poor. And they're generous with people who are in need. Even sometimes when we don't have it ourselves, we'll give our last... There are so many... I've lost count of how many times we've given our last $50 away to somebody who needed something. The kids are in on that. And they have learned those kind of principles through our life. I don't know. I don't know how you just... You can't just sit down and preach them a sermon. You've got to teach them through every... That's why it takes 20 years to grow an oak tree. That's why it takes 20 years, or however long it does, to grow a child where they're a little bit more mature and are able to leave the home. It takes time. All right, so you've got to teach them through your own life. How do you develop a hunger for God in your kids? John kind of spoke a little bit about this yesterday, about how he had to just release the Holy Spirit in bread. But I want to tell you how my kids have learned a hunger for God is by our example. I'm telling you. Right from when my children were little bitty, they saw Dad in his study with his Bible or on his knees. And they learned from when they were just children. They would see me. I would get up 5:30 in the morning or whatever, and I'd get into my study, and I'd be in the Word, and I'd be praying. And they learned that if Mommy is praying, I need to play quietly. They needed to have respect for me, and they needed to learn from when they were just little that this is a special time for Mommy, and I need to back off, go play quietly until she's finished. I'm telling you, that's how they learned. They learned when they were 2, 3, 4, 5. That's where they learned through my life, by watching us. You see, I remember seeing my father till the last time I ever saw him. Well, he died at the age of 84, and I saw him, I suppose, 6 months or so before he actually died. But I remember seeing him up early with the Word, down on his one bended knee, praying over his family. I developed a hunger for God through watching my father. Your kids are going to develop hunger for God by watching you. It's like you're putting yourself on this big super spiritual pedestal, but it's not that at all. It's like you've got to live in a transparent way before your children. Let them see you blow it, but then let them see what you do when you do blow it. How you become vulnerable, and what you do when you blow it. You just ask forgiveness. Okay, here's another question. How to manage kids and home? You got 9 kids, you got 7 kids. How do I manage all this? Well, there's some very practical things here. Get organized. This is where older women come in. Older women helping younger women. Am I just prophesying over you? Older women helping younger women to get organized, teaching them some tricks of the trade that you've learned, you know, that have helped you in that situation. You know, as a younger woman, I mean, some of you have got, okay, teenage kids, but you know somebody who's got a 2 or 3 year old. Teach what you know to the next person. How are they going to learn? It's exactly, I mean, if ever there's a place that is so sadly lacking in the church today, is this whole area. Older woman teaching younger woman how to clean their house. you'd be so surprised how many people don't know. You know, I did not know how to clean a house. I grew up in South Africa where we had a maid. I never washed a teaspoon. I didn't cook any meals. I had a maid who cooked the meals. I had a maid who cleaned the house. I had a gardener who did all the gardening. I never raked a leaf in my life. I never dug a hole. I mean, I didn't know how to do it until I hit America. And all of a sudden, I'd go out for lunch with my friends and they'd say, well, I cleaned house today. And I think, what did she do all day that it took her all day to clean house? I promise you. Now, I know some of you are thinking, I'm not making this up. Because, you see, I've spoken to many women and they might be sitting right next to you and they've thought the same thing. And I'd hear them saying, well, you know, I dusted the fans. And I think, you dusted fans? And it never entered my head to dust the fans. It had never entered my head to wipe the skirt, what we call skirting boards. What do you call those things that are just above baseboards? It had never entered my head to wipe them like once every 6 months. We never thought of spring cleaning because the house was cleaned every day. Our carpets were vacuumed every day by our maid, you see. Because the culture was such that, I mean, you all had two or three servants. Most people do in South Africa. So it was a real shock to me. So I'm telling you, there are lots of women. I mean, they were friends of ours, and she won't mind me saying this. She grew up in up north in wherever it was, Maine area. And she had Philadelphia. And she had these housemaids. And she grew up kind of like I did. When they moved right next door to us, she did not know how to clean a house. She didn't know how to wash her dishes and how to get organized, how to, you know, when you're watching news, fold the laundry, teach your kids how to fold the laundry. She didn't know how to get herself just organized in her home. And I would go over and sit, stand next to her and say, okay, Susan, let's do this together. And I would just work through her house together with her. How to pick up a room. She didn't know how to do this. Older women can teach younger women that elementary things that would really help a younger woman get organized in her life. So, get organized in your closets. Get organized. Ask the Spirit of God, Lord, how can I organize this closet? He'll tell you. When I started cleaning house, I began to ask the Lord, Lord, what do I do first? I mean, some people say you dust first and then you vacuum. And others say, no, you vacuum first and then you dust. And others say, no, you start at the top, you do your fans, and then you and you work down. You know, everybody's got their own deal. So you know what? I just began to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what should I do first? And sometimes I'd clean the potties first. And sometimes I would, you know, wash the kitchen floor. So, I mean, I just mixed it all up, but it became, instead of a drudgery, it became, I'm hearing God, and became a joyful thing to me. Because I had to do it anyway, so why not do it by the Spirit instead of just by the flesh? I promise you I did this. I'm not just making this up. I've taught this, and my husband will bear me witness. I really did this. Okay, so get yourself organized. Make lists. If you need to, make lists so that your mind doesn't get cluttered by all this stuff. Then hear God every day and what to do. And then my last point under this is walk in peace. It doesn't matter if you didn't get all the washing done today. I had to come to the place where I said, Lord, today I walked through this day and I heard your voice. Now I got to the end of the day and my kids might have had McDonald's hamburgers for supper. I didn't do the washing. I didn't clean the house. I didn't do all the stuff that maybe my mother, if she was there, would have told me to do. But I heard your Spirit and I walked in peace. And my house might be a disaster area, but Lord, I did everything you told me to do today. And I walked in peace. No condemnation. Now, I want to tell you, I don't believe God likes a pigsty. Because I think an unclean spirit is an unclean spirit. And I think a house should be more or less clean, you know. And we all have different standards as far as that goes. But you know what? If you raise your kids with a resemblance of order and cleanliness. It's important because what you're putting into them is what they're going to have. And let me just right here put this in. It was never a big deal for Bradley to have a tidy room. Now, Tracy's room was always tidy. She'd get up in the morning. I wouldn't even have to tell her. She would make her bed. She'd put her clothes away. Before she walked out of her room was just perfect. And then she'd come in and from school and she'd do her homework and everything would be a mess. But before she went to bed that night, she'd tidy her room. I never ever had to tell her that. It kind of came naturally to her. It did not come naturally to Brad. He would get in bed, he'd take his clothes off, leave them in a heap on the floor. He'd get into bed, he'd sleep, he'd get out of bed, and he'd just step over his clothes, get some new clothes, put the old clothes down there, never think to make his bed or tidy his room. It just didn't come naturally. But now here I faced a dilemma. What do I do? Do I make Bradley's life hell by demanding every day, and I know some folk who won't give their children breakfast if they don't tidy their room. Oh, Lord, help us. But that is true. I face this. Now, it's not as important for him to have a tidy room. It's kind of important to me, but not so important to him. But I do want to teach him that it's important to have a tidy room. So where is the balance in this thing? Do I make his life a misery? He's saying, Bradley, get back into your room and go tidy your room. You are going to tidy your room before you go out anywhere and make his life miserable. Or do I ask the Spirit of God what to do? And this is what the Spirit of God told me what to do. I mean, there was come at least once a week I'd say to Brad, Brad, it's time to hit your room. Come on, let's do it together. Or you go start, I'll be there in a minute. As he got older, you know, you understand that's how I've kind of let my hands go off a little further. But during the week, it wasn't important to him if he got into it. He didn't even notice if his bed was made or unmade. Some of you ladies know what I'm talking about. You got guys that are the same. So you know what? I just decided I'm not working. I'll make his bed. So I made his bed every single day for him. And then some days I would joke and I'd say, Brad, don't worry to make your bed today. I'm going to change the linen. He says, okay, no problem, Mom. I mean, it was a big joke because, you see, he didn't ever make his bed. He didn't care. I mean, he just, and I made his bed as, you know, it was just a sheet and a duvet. It wasn't a big deal to make his bed fit. I mean, it didn't take 10 seconds to do. But here's the deal. He got you, and my friends would say to me, you are spoiling your child. You are ruining him. He's going to be a miserable husband. You know, he's never going to help his wife. But here's the deal. When Bradley went off to ORU, he was so used to living in an orderly room. He was used to it. That he made his bed. And when his roommate didn't make his bed, you see, his roommate had been forced to make his bed every single day, as he wouldn't get breakfast or whatever. When his roommate didn't make his bed, Bradley made his roommate's bed. Now, how do you like that? So if you like it, was reverse psychology for him, you know? But it's like, you see, this is the deal. You've got to hear the Spirit. You know your kid. So instead of making Brad's life always a miserable thing at home, forcing him to do things that he didn't even notice to do or he didn't even want to do, it was just a pain in the neck to do, I just did it. But he got so used to it. He's living on his own, you know. I mean, his is not the cleanest, tidiest room. There are three guys now that live together in this apartment, in a three-bedroom apartment. But I want to tell you, Bradley's room is 100, I hope they never listen to this tape, is 100% more tidy than the other two guys in that apartment. And Bradley's the one who gets up and vacuums the carpets in the den and cleans the kitchen. He never did it at home, not much. We did it together. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you understand? It became, you know, it wasn't a point of battle in our home anymore. I chose not to allow it to become a point of resistance and battle. I just chose to, let's hear the Lord. Let me do it with grace. And I'm telling you, my kid has turned out okay. So don't worry. Your kids are going to turn out okay. Bottom story. All right, music. What do I let my kids listen to? What do I need to let my kids listen to? I mean, there is so much music around. There is so much evil music around. When kids, teenagers get out there, you know, and here's the deal. Tracy was never really tempted to listen to bad secular rock music. Bradley liked it. What do? Number one, you pray. Number two, you release, you talk, communicate. You should get all these points down. You talk to your kids. You listen to the music with them. I would drive in the car with them and I'd say, shucks, Bradley, what is the words of that song? You know, our ears don't hear the words really well, but they know every word. So he'd repeat the words to me and I'd say, wow, do you think that's right? Communicate. Number three, release them to hear the Spirit. got a wonderful illustration here. It comes from Charles Stanley. You know who Charles Stanley is? He's the minister of First Baptist Church Atlanta. Marvelous, marvelous man. I heard him give this illustration on TV. He said when his son was about 16 years old, his son wanted to go to a rock concert. And he just said, oh God, my kid can't go to a rock concert. I mean, he's the pastor's son. He's going to pick up all these influences, all the drugs and all the stuff. And the Holy Spirit said, teach him to hear my voice. So he said to his son, he said, all right, why don't you ask the Lord if you're supposed to go to this rock concert? He's 16 years old. So the kid comes back and says, yep, God said I can go. So he goes off to the rock concert, and Charles Stanley and his wife pray the whole time he's at the rock concert. They are on their knees. They're looking through the drapes, checking to see when he's coming home. Comes in at about 2 o'clock in the morning, walks in, and they said, well, how was it? He said, oh, I had a great time. I really enjoyed it. That, oh, God, it didn't work, you know. So the next month, he wants to go to another rock concert. And so Charles Stanley said, we had to say, all right, why didn't you hear God? This went on for, was it 3 times? He went to 3 concerts. At the 3rd concert, this young man, 16-year-old man, was in the rock concert when the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, this is no place for a child of the living God. Go home. That's the last rock concert he ever did. Here's the deal. Charles Stanley allowed his child to hear the Spirit of God for himself. Instead of just putting a rule, which would have caused rebellion, and if he ever got away from home, he was going to go to a rock concert anyway. But it became a personal conviction for him. We did the same with our kids. When it came to like R-rated movies, I mean, they can go to any movie they like. I can't, you know, they're at the age now, they can do what they like. When they went off to school, they could see any movie they liked. They could see any R-rated, anything they wanted to see, they could go see. But because we'd been training them, look, listen to the Spirit. Listen to what the Spirit says. Do only what He tells. If your spirit is violated in you, get up and walk out. And both kids have done this on occasions. You know, there was a time when Tracy was just like 15 years old, and she was starting to like this one guy, and he liked her, and they were going to go to some school function together, and Tracy and I would walk the dog every night. We would go walk the dog, and so Snuggles was his name, and we would walk Snuggles around the block, and it was our time just to talk. I'd say, well, what's going on? We learned scripture verses together. We learned Ephesians, the first 6 verses of Ephesians together. We would talk about all sorts of things. It was our time just to be together and just to talk. And so one day she says, Mom, what do you think about holding hands? Do you think that's okay for me to hold hands? And I wanted to say, absolutely not. I mean, don't let him touch you, Tracy. I mean, just stay as far away. I mean, I could just see this guy's 2 years older than him. He's got hormones pumping through his bloodstream, and he just wants my precious little girl. You know, this is a mother, protective mother talking. And so it's like I wanted everything within me to say, do not touch, do not touch, do not touch. Just absolutely not. But I said, well, Trace, let's ask the Lord about this. Let's give us 3 days. They were going to go to this little school function on the Friday night. And he was old enough, he could drive the car, you see, and so he was going to pick her up. And I remember walking around the block, and every night we'd just say, Lord, would you just tell Tracy if it's okay to hold hands? And I wanted God so badly to say no. And on the Thursday night, before the Friday night, I said, well, what has the Lord said to you, Trace? And he said, well, you know what? I think it's okay that if we hold hands. But the Lord said to me, don't let him kiss you. Don't ever go further than that. And you know what? That became a personal conviction for Tracy. She didn't kiss a guy until she thought this was the guy she was going to marry, and she allowed him to kiss her. I mean, and she was 21 years old before she ever kissed a guy. But she held, and you see, I had to release her. I would like to have said, no, don't even hold hands. But I had to release her. To hear the Spirit. You see, this is very practical stuff, girls and guys. This is absolutely where you live. This is what you're going to face with your children. But this is how we've learned. And we didn't always do it right. but some of these principles that we've learned we want to pass on to you. So as far as music goes, listen to what they're listening to. Screen the TV of smaller kids. Teach older kids that what you put, this is what we did teach our kids, what you put into them is going to come out of them. You put that junk into them, junk is coming out of them. So we taught them that principle and teach them to listen to the peace of God within them and not to violate the peace of God. Okay, how do I make time for Bible study and prayer in my life? Well, let me just say this right up front. If you haven't got time to spend some time with God, if you're too busy, then you're too busy. It may be only 5 minutes. It may only be sometimes 3 minutes. I understand how hectic schedules can be. I was also a carpool mother. I also had to drop off kids at sports and do all this stuff and try and attend Bible studies and all this stuff. I mean, I did all that stuff too, and I understand how when you get to bed at 12 o'clock, it's so hard to get up at 6 o'clock to have a quiet time. I mean, you can't even open your eyes, much less concentrate on the Bible. But take some time during the day to turn the TV off, but somehow ask the Spirit of God to give you a plan where you are feeding yourself with the Word of God, and you're praying, and you're speaking, and you're listening to the Spirit, and you're prophesying over your kids. I mean, I know sometimes if you've got lots of small kids, it may be that it's in the bathroom. You're sitting in the bathroom, you close the door, and you say, go play, Mommy wants to read the Bible. I mean, if that's what it takes, do it. But feed your spirit. It's so important that you take time to feed your spirit for yourself. Don't rely just on the preacher on a Sunday morning to feed you. You feed you. You pray in tongues over you. You pray in tongues over your kids. You speak to God. It's so important. Okay. Just a point here. When do you release your children? Well, somebody once said you release their hand, but you never release their heart. Releasing your children, I think, comes in stages. As they grow, you slowly release them. You don't just say, go out there and do your thing. You slowly release them. The final releasing for me came with Tracy is when she got married. When we released her to Matt. Now, he is her covering, and she is now, she's not under our authority. She's not even our responsibility anymore. The only responsibility I now have for Tracy is to be the older woman speaking into the younger woman, teaching her how to love her husband and how to clean her house and good recipes and stuff like that, you know, what mothers do. But that was the final release. But up to that point, it was a gradual release on them hearing God slowly. It's again, you know your child, you know the maturity level of your child, you know what he can handle, and the Lord will show you how to gently release them to hear the Spirit, how to gently grow them, guide them, nurture them, mentor them through your life. Okay, let's see. Any of these other questions? We want to have a time of impartation, so okay, you got a question?
This question was passed forward, and I thought it would be good to deal with. What about the spirit of rejection a child is dealing with from a parent who has abandoned them? And, you know, obviously there's so much rejection involved with breakup of marriages and, you know, the sense of abandonment that children have, and it can be extremely acute. The way you deal with that is taking your child through forgiveness. You know, you sit down with them and explain. You know, sometimes, hey, death of a father or mother is interpreted by the child as abandonment, and it's how they have interpreted. And so you just sit down with them and you teach them to forgive, to cancel debts. You say, well, I mean, if the person died, why do they need to forgive? Because their perception of abandonment is a judgment often. And so you have to deal with them and say, okay, now let's just release daddy for having abandoned you. And walk through forgiveness is such a powerful thing, you know, and is the key to the healing. And so you walk your kids through that, and then you ask the Holy Spirit to heal the wound. And the way the Holy Spirit wants to do it is to reveal the Father's love to them in place of a father who has abandoned them. And God, the Holy Spirit, can do that to them and wants to do that to them. The question also went on about blending families together. And what about the covenant between stepchildren? Hey, it's as much a covenant relationship as your natural children. If God has called the parents together, then those are your covenant children. And so you have the same privilege of relating to them as to your own children and ministering into their lives. And again, listen, you know, you say, well, boy, there's so much junk associated with them and you know, in their past, and man, it just makes me mad because of what has been poured into them. Hey, you work through them and help them to process all of the stuff as it arises, you know, little by little, one thing at a time as it manifests, and you see the Lord bring healing. And I don't know all the answers to the blending of families and the discipline issues that you find where one parent is jealous, you know, of the other parent disciplining their children and so on. Again, it's going to the Holy Spirit over these things and saying, Holy Spirit, now here's a situation. Would you speak to us? Would you reveal to us? And so, okay. Dealing with teenagers that think their parents are their servants and are demanding to their parents. Okay, now, you know, this starts with the whole thing of respect. You know, if you have not taught your children to respect you as their parents, and so often what it is you have been demanding on your kid, you have put expectations upon them, and they, you know, they haven't fulfilled them, and so there's been hostility, and now it's come that, you know, you just stepped in and started doing stuff, and now they expect you just to be the servant to them, and so on. Well, you've got to go back and sit down with them and say, I blew it. There's stuff that I've done in raising you that has created a situation because of my, own wounds or whatever, and my legalism towards you and putting you under rules. I've created this thing. Now I'm asking you to forgive me. And you just deal with it with forgiveness, asking the Lord to heal. And then, as with your child sitting there and saying, okay, now what is acceptable behavior? What is the Holy Spirit saying? How do we relate to one another in this situation? You know, conferencing is so important, and the meal time is such a good time for conferencing. I can't tell you how valuable those times were when the evening meal was over, when you sat at the table, the TV off, and you sit together at the table, and then, you know, and Bev was always the good one for drawing out the kids. You know, asking those pertinent questions that started them sharing. And then you're able to get into areas that they're dealing with, problematical areas, and talking together. Let me stress again, listen, don't forgo a meal together at a table as a family. You know, just because your culture has everybody sitting in front of TV, switch the cotton picking TV off. You know, and just, you know, your children are too valuable for you to just let things slide because you're involved in a program or watching the news and so on. Hey, the world's still going to be there tomorrow. Cut it off and have meals at tables, even if it is a takeaway meal that you brought in. Sit at the table, okay? That's so important. We believe so much in impartation. We believe this, that what some have walked in and appropriated, they are able to pass on by impartation. Obviously, we can do a lot by teaching, but scripturally, it's not just teaching that does it. It's the impartation of anointing. And so, you know, Bev and I just would love to impart anointing on those of you who are parents. And I want to encourage you in this. when you see somebody who has won a victory in an area that you're still dealing with, it's good to get into their lives and say, okay, you obviously have had success in this. You've learned some stuff in this. Would you share with me what God has taught you in this? And then when they're through, just say, now, would you mind just praying for me and releasing on me what God has given to you through it all? Because it's not just that I've learned stuff in my head. It's that God has imparted to me in the realm of the Spirit. And so what I have received, I am able to impart to you. And so, I mean, the scripture is so wonderful in that Paul speaks about the Roman church. And he said, man, I long to come to you so that I might impart something to you. It wasn't just that I can teach you something. It was an impartation. And so we want to do that impartation here. And I want to pray in general first before we go into that. Father, now I just speak peace over your people. Lord, thank you that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And that even in the areas where we have failed, God, I want to thank you for the redemptive grace that has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ. I thank you for the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us in all areas of failure. I thank you for your grace that abounds to us where we might have failed. And I thank you, dear Lord God, that we can have an up-to-date experience of your grace. Now, Lord, I'm asking you in the lives of your people just to strip away the defensiveness that we might have because of the, you know, the hurt that we have and the sense of failure and all the rest of it, and just make us vulnerable before you today. Just make us honest and open before you. Lord, thank you that we don't have to try and hoodwink you. You know all things. You know our hearts. And Lord, you know the situations that many of us face that seem to be insurmountable. God, I know there's some sitting here and thinking, man, Beverly must be an angel. And it just seems like it's just absolutely insurmountable. Now, Lord, I'm asking you to raise up older women who will recognize that they have something to impart to younger women. God, I'm asking you to stir that up as Paul instructed Titus. God, and Timothy, Lord, that you will raise up the older women who can impart to the younger women so that younger women don't feel utterly on their own. And feel hopeless and helpless because of the problems. And so, Lord, I'm asking you out of this, even these morning sessions, you will just anoint some of the older women and give them a vision and let them press into the lives of some of the younger women and become friends to them and become encouragers and become teachers and help the younger women. And then, Lord, I pray, too, that you will just show us how much the Holy Spirit wants to help us. God, forgive us that we have overlooked the most important counselor, and we've often run off to people when all the time the Holy Ghost lives within us. And he is the Spirit of wisdom. He is the Spirit of knowledge. He is the counselor, the teacher. And so, Holy Spirit, we receive you as the instructor in this whole business of child rearing and parenting. And Lord, we want to have a fresh appreciation for you as the third member of the Godhead who indwells us and who is right up close and personal to help us in our daily walk to know exactly how to live and what to do.
This is the conclusion of this teaching. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you and thank you for listening.